from Associated School Boards of South Dakota. My name is Heath Larson, Executive Director for the Association, otherwise known as ASBSD. I wanted to bring you some information today with an informational update of a new program we'll be starting here at ASBSD. It's titled On the Agenda, and it'll be a podcast that will be made available on YouTube and also have available download for audio file as well. The premise behind this new informational program is to visit with school board members across the state, education leaders, and others to bring you pertinent and relevant updated information in regards to something that is near and dear to all of our hearts, and that is public K-12 education in South Dakota. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoy our On the Agenda podcast. At Delegate Assembly, it's your opportunity as a local school board to have your voice heard in peer and prepare for the upcoming legislative session. In addition to that, at Delegate Assembly, we also have opportunities in our review of standing positions resolutions with Shane Roth, our ASBSD president, and Lisa Snedeker, our first vice president, as well as they go through all of that information with the assembly. In addition, a key topic that we've been hearing a lot about and talking a lot about, keeping a keen eye on over the course of this summer and this fall, has been the Property Tax Task Force, which has looked at numerous property tax cuts, changes, et cetera, across the state of South Dakota for that opportunity to try to consider or take a look at what they can do to address the property tax scenario in South Dakota. As we all know, property taxes are important to the funding of K-12 education as a part of what's called local effort and the funding formula in our state for education. The task force did recommend several proposals that were approved to go to the executive board for their review. So we'll be keeping a keen eye on that information, see what comes out of the e-board, and then certainly we know property taxes will be a significant discussion at Delegate Assembly, and in addition, the legislative session in 2026, which will be the 101st legislative session in South Dakota. At Associated School Boards of South Dakota, we also have a school board recognition program that you earn points based on school board member participation. And we really encourage board engagement across our school districts in the state. And you have an opportunity with Delegate Assembly to earn 25 all points for a board that appoints their delegate. And in addition to that, you earn points for your attendance at region meetings. And our all program, ALL, is Act, Learn, and Lead. And we appreciate your engagement in our state and promoting and advocating for your schools in South Dakota public education. Our first interview for our On the Agenda podcast will be with ASBSD President Shane Roth. Shane is also the president of the DeSmit School Board and is serving his term on our executive committee, and this is his year in the role of president for ASBSD. Shane will lead Delegate Assembly this year. In an upcoming interview, we hope you can learn more about Shane's positions and thoughts on education in South Dakota. Welcome everyone to Associated School Boards of South Dakota and our podcast recording. And today we will be visiting with Shane Roth, Associated School Boards of South Dakota's president this year for the 2025-26 school year. And we're excited to have Shane with us. And Shane is the current board president in the DeSmit School District and has worked through our executive committee at Associated School Boards. And we're happy to have you with us today, Shane.
Well, thank you, Mr. Larson. I appreciate that. And good morning. My name is Shane Roth from DeSmit. As he said, I grew up in Coleman, South Dakota, home of the Wildcats. So, I've been married to my wonderful wife, Monica for 28 years now, 28 and a half years. We have eight children. The oldest just turned 27 here a month ago, and my youngest is 12. So we have seven boys, one girl. Current age of the children are 27, 25, 23, 21, 19, 18, 14, 12. There we go. I have to think about that sometimes a little bit, but the girl is 14 and she's the boss. So that all works out well. For my job, I am currently the Vice President of Operations at TNR Electric in Cullman. I've worked for TNR for over 36 years now. So I've been here quite a while. I also work for Brookings Health Systems on their ambulance service for the last 18 years. So, and as you said a minute ago, I am currently serving as president of the Desmond School Board. I've been on the school board in Desmond since 2012. Interesting enough, I was on another school board prior to that. I was in, we lived around the Brookings Volga area, and I was on the Sioux Valley School Board for 4 years till we moved. So I have a little experience on boards. And as of August, I said, I'm serving as president of Associated School Boards of South Dakota, and I've been on the ASBSD board since 2018, I believe. So, also serving on the South Dakota Retirement System Board of Trustees, representing the state school boards. So I took that seat here just last year in 2024. So, try to keep a little busy, and there's my life in a nutshell.
Well, you're more than a little busy, I would say, Shane. Thanks for sharing that information. And yeah, that's a lot of kids' birthdays and everything to remember. So I'm sure Monica, keeps you in line with all of
Yeah, and she needs the names. I'm horrible with
that.
horrible. I can't ever get them right. I'm like, I come by that honestly. My grandmother had 11 kids, and she just run down the list. I kind of do the same. Wait for one of them to look at me.
Well, Shane, thanks for sharing that information about your background. What inspired you to get involved in education at the school board level?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, the fact I think that I have eight children kind of plays a little bit of a role, and I mean, when I even consider each kid going, pre-K through senior year, I mean, geez, my kids' cumulative average of schools, I mean, I think what is that, over 100 years, 112 years I'll spend in public education in South Dakota when I add them all together. So, public education in South Dakota is written into our South Dakota Constitution, under Article 8. And it says the uniform system of free public schools. I believe the first phrase of it is that it states the stability of the Republican form of government depending on the morality and intelligence of the people. It shall be the duty of the legislator to establish and maintain a general and uniform system of public schools wherein tuition shall be without charge and equally open to all, and to adopt all suitable means to secure to the people the advantages and opportunities of education. I think that last line kind of always sticks out to me as the important one, to secure to the people the advantages and opportunities of education. In creating the public school systems in South Dakota, the legislature over the years has recognized the importance of local control for schools. Ultimately, I would suppose I was motivated by a desire to be part of the process that builds a stronger future for our children and all the children in South Dakota for that matter.
Very good. Shane, tell us the qualities or experiences that you believe are most important for someone in your position to possess. So you're on the local board in DSMITC, you're the president of Associated School Boards, you serve on the board for South Dakota Retirement System, which, by the way, we really appreciate you doing that and keeping that solvent and strong. But what are some qualities that you think would be important and believe that are most important for someone in positions like you have?
Well, I to me, the number one is the commitment to education and the students. A desire to improve learning outcomes for all students. I would say another item is the collaboration. Understanding that the role requires teamwork from all board members. On the association side, associations and staff, all the various stakeholders. I know we as an association work great with the other education institutions in the state. And everyone brings a different life experience to the board association. I mean, I personally learned something new at every meeting, every training session, whether it's delegate assembly, joint conference. The available online learning opportunities through the ASBSD website are just outstanding. Anyone can go on there, click on. I mean, there is a lot of opportunity to learn something new. And I think of us as a board too on the ASBS side, and we've had what I will call some educational pillars on our board over the years as well. I mean, just individuals who've given their time and talents to further public education in South Dakota. And let me add, continue to do so, even though they may not currently sit on our board. They've either left our board and moved on, or but they're still involved. I mean, just during my brief time since 2018, I think of some great education leaders in South Dakota, like Dwayne Ulm from Aberdeen, who we just recognized with the School Bell Award at our joint conference. I mean, what a great man and a pillar for the state of South Dakota, furthering education for kids. Tom Farrell from Madison. I mean, another great guy, taught at DSU for ages that I learned a lot from. Luann Krogman from White River just recently left our board. And, I probably shouldn't name names because I could go on another 20 minutes, and we have a lot of long-term members on our board. Just individuals who've given so much of themselves in the pursuit of furthering opportunities for children, really, is what it's about.
Very good. Thank you, Shane. And yeah, you're right on. A lot of great names there that you shared, and great advocates for public education and all the great things that are going on in South Dakota with education. Tell us a little bit, let's switch gears and talk a little bit more maybe policy and maybe challenges that you see coming forth or that you've seen over the years. But specifically for today, what are some of the most pressing issues you think facing schools in your region or in the state right now?
I mean, there's quite a few. Some of the big ones that come up right away, I'll just throw out teacher and staffing shortages. That continues to be an issue, and there's contributing factors to that. I mean, it's one of them is low pay. We rank near the bottom nationally for average teacher salaries. We have the rural challenges. Getting teachers to live in remote areas can be a huge challenge for some districts. The other part is experienced educators are retiring at a much higher rate, and we got a lower rate of new teachers entering our pipeline. So a couple of those items, now we get on to a little bit of the legislative side, and we talk about property taxes. We as public schools rely heavily on property taxes for funding. The push to reduce property taxes in the state, I mean, could really have adverse impacts for the funding of public education. Now, don't get me wrong, it's not that I'm opposed to lower taxes. I mean, certainly, I think everyone agrees, there has to be a happy medium there at somewhere. But the question then revolves about if you're going to cut those taxes, what revenue stream do we have available to fund public education in the state as a replacement? So that's a huge concern, and I think we'll be seeing that for years to come in the legislature, and it's going to come quicker, I imagine, with the push this last year and it going on to this next. Another concern I'll throw out is the legislative efforts we've seen to divert state funds to private schools via voucher programs. Now, for some areas in the state, especially those really rural areas, I get it's not, that can almost sit in the back of your mind because you're going, well, there's not going to be a charter school open up in maybe, the northwest corner of the state. And I understand that. But when you look at the whole, and anytime you're moving funds away from public education, we have to be concerned about that. And then I guess if I'm going to throw out one more thing, I'll throw out the mental health crisis. That even brings into sight for that situation that just took place in Minnesota, and that unfortunate situation. And, students are experiencing high rates of depression, anxiety, suicidal ideations, a trend that they say really escalated during the pandemic. Now, we as a state face a severe shortage of school mental health professionals. The last numbers I've seen show it somewhere is there's one school mental health professional for every 3,400 students around that framework. And so I think we do have some huge challenges in the next 5 years in public education in South Dakota.
Yeah, you mentioned several of those challenges, Shane, and did a nice job summarizing, some of those challenges that we do face. And as we know, one of the challenges, something we always working for, is the funding component to that, and always enhancing and increasing funding for for our students and our school districts to address some of these issues that are at hand. Talk to us a little bit about how you see the role of school boards evolving in response to the changing state and federal education policies. What kind of role do you see school boards have in that?
Well, naturally you have a bigger on a bigger role probably on the state side than federally, but I'll quick talk about the federally. I don't want to say I sit there and worry about it a lot. That's maybe not the right word, but I certainly follow it, but I don't necessarily dwell on it. After all, it's our Senator Rounds who put forward the Returning Education to Our States Act, a bill to abolish the Department of Education. Now, they'll argue that that transfers its functions to other federal agencies and then moves it to state governments as well. When you research that bill, it claims the aim is to decentralize federal control over education, returning regulatory authority to the states and basically reducing administrative costs. Now, many of the services provided currently would be in theory, come back to the states as block grants for the state to administer. A lot of states aren't ready or equipped to do that, so there's a lot of concern about that. And then, of course, there's the concerns about could this change lead to inequalities, reduced oversight, and diminished access to vital programs for vulnerable students? And speaking of vulnerable students, one thing we've always worked on is the IDEA, the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. The federal government put that into effect in 1975. And at that time, they promised 40% of the required funding for that mandated program would come from the federal government. Currently, they fund about 14.7%, which is almost as high as it's ever been. So they've never met that threshold. So, we have those issues. But back to the Rounds bill, I'll say, supporters argue that states are better equipped to handle education at the local level than the centralized federal bureaucracy. And so we'll see where that all kind of shakes out. One thing, the wheels of the Senate move slowly, and so in the federal government, so we'll see what happens. As far as the state policy goes, I think the most important thing we need to do is to continue our advocacy of public education, by engaging our local community and getting all members of our local community to engage with the local legislators, promoting the excellent work being done in public schools here in South Dakota. Now, the key word, and I think I almost repeated myself a couple times, is local. And we have an organization, of course, ASBSD. We work hard to advocate during the legislative session, but really, it means so much more when the legislator is hearing straight from a constituent. That local involvement is just crucial. Just crucial. So I think on a state level, it's really getting out there and saying, hey, look at the great things happening in public education.
Yeah, you brought up two great words there, local control. And that's something in South Dakota we've always really thrived on and relied on is the importance of local control. The best government's the government closest to your people, to your local people. And your local people are the ones that make the best decisions because they know what's going on, in your current situation locally. So I think those two words of local control, and we have seen over the last little while here, a little bit more of an infringement on some of the local control concept that I think we have to keep a close eye on and continue advocating for, in the state of South Dakota. Let's talk a little bit, Shane, about community and stakeholder engagement. What are some thoughts or ideas you have how school boards can foster strong relationships with their local communities?
That question, you might get a might elicit a different response from anyone you ask, any different board member. Thinking of my community of DeSmet, a small community, county seat, K-12 enrollment, 350 to 360. I feel our board, our school administration, the school staff have a great relationship with stakeholders in our community, the whether it be city, businesses, our local education foundation. But as a board, it is important to be transparent, fiscally responsible, actively engaging in community events, I think is important as well, partnerships that we can come up with. And really, I think one of the biggest things, and it can be a struggle, is creating opportunities for community input. You know, creating opportunities where the community is able to say what they think and throw in their input. You know, I know sometimes it seems like we don't get community input until there's an item that has, shall we say, stoke or fanned a flame of discontent. You know, I mean, in DeSmet, I've tried to move meeting times, change meeting formats, all with somewhat limited success. You know, now I will say the administration has made some strides the last couple of years with community education topics, and that's really piqued some of the interest of parents, which has been nice. Last year, they brought in a speaker that gave a talk about online safety, and who isn't worried about their kids and online safety? We had a great turnout in the gymnasium. A great guest speaker did a fantastic job. And so that went so well that we're going to try to do a couple more this year. This year, our first one that Dr. Abby's putting on, our superintendent, is a session called The Anxious Generation. You know, and it's about the effects of cell phones on children. You know, they talk about they get a dopamine response from it, getting notifications. And so, you know, and a lot of schools, Deisman included, moved to banning cell phones. So, you know, we've seen a lot of parents are really interested in attending that one. The other thing I'll say too, and this is a relatively new organization. I know you, Mr. Larson, are familiar with them, but we're working with the Family Engagement Center here in South Dakota. Now, that's a statewide initiative to offer learning resources, strategies to connect schools, families, and communities. So there's some resources out there too, as well, for boards and school administrations to get some fresh ideas on how to engage with the communities. And that's a great one, the Family Engagement Center. So.
Absolutely. And connecting with our families, you know, through our schools is obviously very, very crucial, and something I know all of our schools thrive on is that communication with their families and getting families engaged in the school. So thanks for sharing that piece of information. Yeah, they're a great resource, the engagement center that you mentioned. Let's talk a little bit about finances, and finances for school districts. As you know, there's increasing financial pressures on schools. What are some of the innovative strategies that school boards are using that you've seen, maybe there in DeSmet, but also even talking with your counterparts across the state or even across the country, just to maximize limited resources?
Yeah, now that's a huge ongoing struggle. You know, you talk about even our low teacher salary, but yet, and I'm just going to use DeSmet as an average, about 85% of our general fund budget is salary and benefits. So, you know, once you take that out, it doesn't leave a lot of room for maneuvering. You know, and you know, we do work with neighboring districts to share some costs by co-opting some sports, whether it's wrestling or softball or a few things like that. In the past, we've even shared some teaching staff with neighboring districts where we've each kind of struggled to find a music teacher, and so we do a little sharing, you know, and one district pays the cost and we supplement it, and they go back and forth. So there are some options. You know, the other thing is working with community groups. You know, our community groups really support some of the, and it's easy to get support for extracurricular activities. So, you know, where it is easy, you should take advantage of it. So we do that. The Beef to School program, you know, we just recognized Kingsbury Cattlemen's Association. They provide all the beef to our school. That's been great in our lunch program. So that's worked. We worked with the city on a joint project updating our football and track complex and an event center, you know. So there are areas where we can do in a small community, do some collaboration whenever possible. So I think it's more so looking at that. And then, of course, we do have the technology that's going to take place, and we'll see where that goes. I think that's wide open with AI and everything else that's taking place. So we'll see where that ends up. But yeah, for the financial pressures on schools, unfortunately, I don't see that diminishing anytime soon.
For sure. Let's look forward a little bit in the future of education. You mentioned AI and the challenges associated with that. And there's obviously also some real, you know, there can be real positives with that as well. So it's kind of a delicate balance between both of those things. But what is your vision as, you know, president of Associated School Board? You're the local school board president in DeSmet. What's your vision for the future of public education in South Dakota?
Yeah. Well, you know me, Mr. Larson, and I'm an eternal optimist. I mean, I truly believe in the people of South Dakota. I believe that they'll continue to support the great work that is being done within our public education system. And you just brought it up with all the advancements in technology and artificial intelligence. I feel that we're going to excel into the future. I mean, the challenge will be making sure that we as a state are making adequate investments within the system to offer students the most advanced and updated technology with that. So, I have a very strong vision of public education in South Dakota, and I feel overall a majority of the residents of South Dakota are very proud of the system, but that doesn't also dissipate the fact we got to work hard. We got to work hard in our local districts. We got to work hard, and the staffs continue to work hard. We got to pay a lot of attention to test scores. We got to get those up where they need to be, and just meeting the needs of every child in South Dakota.
What advice, Shane, would you give as we kind of wind down here to someone looking to serve on their local school board?
Interesting enough, a couple board members from other cities and I at the joint convention talked about this very item. And number one, and we talked about it earlier, but the one advice I give is absolutely we have to engage your local legislators. I just can't stress that enough. They respond to that local constituent making their voices heard. Number two, and we touched on this a little bit too, but support the local successes of your district. Make sure the community as a whole and the legislators know the great things that are taking place in your schools. I mean, there are every week. There's great things. And then number three, I'm gonna just throw this out there. For parents, I mean, make sure you're telling teachers and administrators, thank you. Thanks for working with the kids. I mean, they're the backbone of our school. The staff, they work tirelessly to educate and care for children. So, it doesn't hurt to give them a pat on the back. I don't think they receive enough of those sometimes.
Absolutely. And we have great educators in South Dakota, and not only, across our teaching staffs, but I talk a lot about this too, as it takes everyone to make it work. We have all the way from bus drivers who see kiddos first thing in the morning when they hop on the bus to the last when they get off the bus at night, to kitchen staff, to custodial staff, secretarial staff. I mean, you name it, it takes a lot to make it all work, and to make it all happen for our kids and our schools and communities. So, a big shout out to all of our school staff and not only districts like DeSmit across the state, but everywhere across the state. Just do a fantastic job, of doing that. We were actually, my wife and I, we were driving by on Highway 14 over the weekend, and we made a comment, right? We talked a little bit about how DeSmit has really grown and done such a nice job with their infrastructure and with their progressive growth. So a compliment to you and all of your local leaders and community there in DeSmit. You guys have all done a great job, enhancing and staying progressive with the work you're doing there. So
Thank you.
congratulations on that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Shane, for your time today, sharing your infinite wisdom and your experiences as a local school board member, as a parent, as the president of Associated School Boards. We greatly appreciate you spending the time with us, and hopefully folks across the state can engage and learn something from your comments today. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the time.
All right, Shane Roth, Associated School Boards President with us today. I'm Heath Larson, Executive Director for Associated School Boards, and thank you for your time today on our podcast. I hope you enjoyed getting to know Shane better. We appreciate Shane's leadership at Associated School Boards and in his local school district. Thank you, Shane, for all you do for your local school and for our state association in public education. And as always, we want to remind you to share and celebrate your school district's successes. It's a critical time, a crucial time to make sure you're sharing your story with all the great things happening in your local school. We really encourage you to do that. Find an opportunity as a school board to share and celebrate your school district's successes. Thank you from all of us at ASBSD. And I want to thank Tyler Pickner, our Director of Communications, for all of his work in helping get on the agenda published. Thank you.